Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
How y'all doing this morning? Y'all doing good? That's good. You know, I love church. I love just the saints. You know, church kept me, is keeping me through this journey when I rededicated my life, you know, 10 years ago, which is not that long ago. I was just a young little pup, but I'm still young. I don't care what nobody say. But anyway, so I love the church. I love the gathering of the saints. You know, we build each other faith. Sometimes we don't even have to say nothing to anyone. The fact that somebody's next to us is just an outward expression of, hey, Jesus is for real. Jesus is for everybody, and I'm living for Christ. I'm excited this morning, and before I get into the message, I'd just like to just honor our senior pastors. I'd like to honor Pastor Bob and Sibylle. And the reason why is because you got to respect somebody that has the guts to do something crazy like church planting or take over a church and to move from where they move from. Both of them moved from their comfort zone, from Pastor Sibylle from Germany and Pastor Bob from Massachusetts. It was hard for me to say that. I said it right. Oh, right there. Right. I always had trouble saying that. But and they leaped. It's a leap of faith. And what they're doing here at City Park, it's growing. It's fresh vision, and it is awesome. They gave us, Beck and I, an opportunity. Made us feel welcome, along with all the other core leaders and members that was currently here before us. And I just want to thank them. Let's give them a round of applause, please. And also, I'd like to thank my beautiful wife, Becca. She was just singing back here, you know, with the youth band, and she has a beautiful voice, and I love her, and I married her because of her voice. You know what I mean? No, just joking. No, but she is beautiful, and I like for her to stand up. I just want to honor her because I believe I wouldn't be probably on this stage if it wasn't for her. Be honest with you, she was there. You know, when I didn't believe in myself, she believed in me. You know, I don't want to talk too much about that or else, get a little emotional. I tell the youth, hey, I'm a crier and I'm not ashamed of it. Okay. So anyway, as we get into this message, the vacation I always wanted, the message is unplugged, which is so relevant and is so needed in this time today. But, you know, as we on this theme, the vacation I always wanted, I believe this goes right along with it because, you know, Pastor Don last week took us on a road trip, and you know, vacation is usually road trip, and this week is appropriate as well because I want to use a theological term that this is an exodus. You know, this is an exodus. This is a vacate somewhere else into the presence of God. So it's so awesome and needed. But in order for us to do that, we have to get unplugged, and it's so beautiful. Title I like about this is because it reminds me of the movie The Matrix. If you ever seen The Matrix, the movie, it was a false reality. All of a sudden, Neo got unplugged from the false reality. Then once he got unplugged from the false reality, he realized his call. He realized why he was chosen, his purpose, why he was born. But it's crazy. As long as he was plugged into the Matrix, he was going along with life thinking that's real, but really it was artificial. So he got unplugged. Everybody say unplugged. I'm going to make sure you guys are interacting and all that type of stuff. And also, you know, go ahead. If I say something real cool that's you know, is came from God, hopefully, go ahead and say amen, hallelujah, whatever. All right? You know, I'm going to preach better. You're going to juice me up a little bit. But let's see here. I want to open up the scriptures. And I think our paramount scripture is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it's a little backwards right here. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And before I even read the scriptures, I got Romans chapter 12, verse 2 in an amplified version because it says it very good. And before I get to chapter 12, if you ever look at the book of Romans and ever read the book of Romans, you will see that Paul's writing to a Roman church and he's addressing certain issues. And it's actually, the book of Romans is pretty cool because it's systematic theology. He's walking you through the condition of man and the condition of the heart of man, then the solution for the condition of man, which is sin, Jesus becoming the solution. Then he talks about how we were chosen. And he goes on from Romans 10, 11, and 12. And it goes at 12 where I'm about to read from, that he talks about how we are chosen and we are people called out for God, and that he explained the message of grace and how it is not by our doing, our righteousness, but he chose us deliberately. He chose us because he loves us, and we didn't have to do anything for it. Then in Romans chapter 12, it's like the climactic explanation of what he was writing. And I see it as Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, you know, I beseech you, brothers and sisters of Christ, or I urge you, brothers in Christ, to offer your whole being, offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God. After all he has done for you, after he chose you, after he picked you out, he says, just offer your full self, not half self, not 20%, 100% of yourself unto God. He says this is at least you can do an act of worship. Then it drops on Romans 12, verse 2, when he says, or he give us the solution, how to do that. How? I believe Paul was an apostle sold out for Jesus, and he's my favorite character in the Bible other than Jesus. And I believe he was an unplugged person. And he gave us the solution how, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said in Romans chapter 12, 2, this is amplified translation, it says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after, adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God, even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. It's a lot of words. That's why I like the Amplified Version. A lot of women like the Amplified Version. I always thought because it's probably wordy, you know. But it's not. I'm not insulting women. No, seriously. My mom loves it. My mother-in-law loves it. Becca loves it. I know a lot of ladies that like it. I love it, so it's all good. I'm not, you know, hating on the women. But, no, I love it. It's so much in here. And he give us the solution. It's awesome. He says, this is how you do it. This is how you live unplugged. It says, do not be conformed to this world. And that's to pretty much Exodus. He's basically saying, vacate from the ideas, attitudes of this world. Vacate. Not to be weird and hide up in a little cave and house and store up food just because the end of the world is coming. No, that's weird. All right. But he's talking about the worldly thoughts. See, worldly in a church, we always use that words, you know, like, oh, that person is worldly. But really, we always explain worldly as being a type of attitude or something, how somebody dress or how somebody or what they wear or something like that. But worldly is more of in philosophy. It's a ideologies and ideas and attitudes that's separated from God. That's all worldly is. It's set up, separated from God. Just like darkness is not a different shade of light. Darkness is the absence of light. So ideas and philosophies and attitudes are literally just absence of Christ, which makes it worldly. I hope that makes sense. And that's what he's saying. He's saying the word, I love the use right here that he used. This is not my notes. This is Paul's notes, okay? It says fashioned after. I love clothes. I love fashion. I love design. And it's tight because the lady should be screaming right now saying hallelujah. Because the Bible said you can be fashioned. You can wear something. You can dress the best and for success and however you want it. You know what I mean? So it says fashion after, but not in a worldly way. It says fashion after, adapted to its external superficial customs. Superficiality in high school is at an all-time high, especially there. It's kind of, you know, in high school, you can see it. It's all about, do you have the latest shoes? When I was in high school, it was Doc Martens. And if you didn't have the Doc Martens sandals, you had an off-brand Doc Martens. He was like, looked at kind of like, oh, that person must be poor, or he don't know nothing, or he just not in with us. We cool. He's not, you know. and that's just superficial. Or you have superficial friends that you can only talk to on a surface level. They only like you because, I don't know. They only like you because you have a cool car, or you have, I don't know. It's superficial friendship that you cannot go deep with. You only can talk small talk. And when you go to them, you can't really give them your heart because you don't have an established deep relationship with them. Okay, that's superficial. And this world is known for superficiality. It's all about the outward appearance. It's all about the house and the spouse and the dog and the cat and married, all that type of stuff that it's nothing wrong with these things, but it's all about the image and keeping up with the Joneses. And our neighbor cut their lawn and landscape it beautiful. We go, I got to do that to mine. Or, you know, we just kind of comparing, and we all superficial. Or we see people finances, and we on Facebook, it's a good example, is that we see, oh, my husband came in with the most beautiful roses. Oh, it's so amazing. And you look at that and you go, dang, my husband ain't doing that for me. Shoot, I want a Facebook post. So what you do is like you create a moment so you get on your husband's nerves and all that type of stuff. Then all of a sudden, he brings some flowers to the door and out of obligation just to, you know, put on the front and the superficiality of this generation. So you can have an awesome Instagram post and an awesome Facebook post, and you can go, cool, my husband's like that too. But that post that you've seen that compelled you to do that, you didn't realize that. Before she posted that, they probably gotten a huge argument before that. But we don't see that, you know? It's all about the image. It's all about the superficiality of this generation. So Paul is saying, let's come out from among that, because God is a God that's intricately intimate with you. He's deep. The Bible says, let your roots grow down deep into Christ. And Jesus talked about the parable of the seed when he says certain seed fell on shallow ground and they spurted up real fast and the sun just drained them because, why? It was surface level. Okay? So that's what Paul is referring to. It says, but be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind. To be transformed. You are transformed by a paradigm shift in your mind. It says, soon as your mind changes, your attitude and your life changes. The Bible says, whatever a man think, so is he. That means it's your thought process, whatever your thought process is going to be your outcome. So today I'm going to attack our culture. I'm not attacking you. And I'm going to attack our culture because our culture job is to give us perspectives, ideas, and philosophies that are worldly so we can be controlled and not be servants of Christ. So it says, so the reason why it's good that we have a renewed mind so that we may prove for ourselves what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. It means that it is literally impossible for us to know what decision to make or what move to go to or what change we should do without a renewed mind. A lot of new Christians say, oh, the Lord spoke to me to do something this. And I'm like, that's crazy. And I believe the Lord can speak to anybody, even if you're untaught. But then it's like I kind of second guess it because your mind is not renewed yet. You haven't even read the Logos, which is the written word of God. And how can you hear the Rhema, which is the said word of God? You got to get in the word of God first so that can be renewed, washed, cleansed. So then you can actually know what's acceptable and you can prove for yourself. No, that's the will of God. No. That's not God right there. I remember when I started eating up this word, devouring this word, I began to be like, I can hear somebody talk. I can hear certain philosophies, ideas. And I go, that's not biblical. That's not biblical. Oh, no, not that. So it gave me permission and authority and confidence to make a godly decision. Only with a renewed mind you can do that. And I'm still in a renewing process. And this message is not just for you. It's for me. Okay? So I want to break down the word conform, because conform is a word that it's a word that you can see the outworking of this word. The function of this definition is through dictators, through dictator leaders that rule countries and communists, and they want everybody to conform to them. And if you don't conform, you're penalized, you're marginalized, You scrutinized and you are looking foolish, awkward, and you condemned by the rest of the masses as going on with this. So the word conform, the definition, just a simple definition, to be or act according with a set of standards, expectations, and specifications. So those are certain standards, two words I'm going to highlight, is standards and expectation, or standard and expectation. In this world has standards and it has expectation. The question is, are we going to conform to it or are we going to stay on the path of God and say, you know what, I will not conform. And the thing is, the job of the society put pressure on us to conform with the ideas and attitudes of this world so we can become robots and walk in a line as dumb sheep. But God says, you're not dumb, you're wise. You have the mind of Christ. So there is a standard set. I mean, automatically, assumption. When I work, my last previous job where I work, they automatically think, they come up to me and just start saying all this vile and vulgar things, thinking, oh, I'm vile and vulgar. I don't blame them. That's the world. That's unredeemed people that don't know. And I love these people. I end up still being friends with these people, but there's a standard. There's an expectation for me to say, oh, Luell, you going to the strip club? I'm like, oh, no, I don't step up in a strip club. You know what I mean? I'm good with that. No, there's a standard expectation. Oh, Luell, you're gonna smoke weed with us or something like that? You smoke weed? I'm cool. I don't do that. I used to, but you know what I mean? I'm good. I love being sober. You know what I mean? Tell them that. So there's a standard and expectation that's put pressure on us. High schoolers deal with it. There's a standard to give up your purity. There's a standard to cheat on your wife. There's a standard to do certain things that is okay with the world that justifies sometimes our actions. And we don't feel bad because we're working with a worldly conscience and not a godly conscience. And that's what the standard and expectation. There are two different kingdoms. One is a worldly kingdom. Kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And which kingdom are we going to choose to live in? I believe God is calling us deeper. Just like that Good Father song. God is calling us deeper. Always calling us deeper. Out of the superficiality. Out of the shallow water. Into deeper water. So we can swim on vacation. Amen? Yeah. All right. And the Lord told me years ago. He told me specifically. He says, man, you know, and he was talking to me at the same time. Wasn't like I had it all together. He says, the devil is using preoccupied warfare. He says, preoccupied warfare. He's causing my people to defocus off me, to focus and put all their energy on something else. Though they have the formality of Christianity, their mind is far from me. Like in Matthew 15, it says, to the Pharisees, it says, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts is far from me. God is after the heart. He was never after just our outward stuff. And God is after our heart. And he says, preoccupied warfare. He says, that's what they use. And in the definition of being preoccupied, it says, when you're preoccupied, you're completely focused on whatever that is. You're doing. It's nothing wrong with being preoccupied with certain things and certain assignments. But here goes a good example of it. It is good to be preoccupied when you're driving as long as you're preoccupied with the road, not with your cell phone. It's really that simple. I mean, it's cool. Like, you know, you go on to Thanksgiving, you're like, cool, you're driving real nice. You know, you're watching the crazy drivers, you know, that don't know how to use their turn signal. Come on. Or just cut in front of you. I'm about to get mad right now. So they cut in front of you, and all of a sudden they just slow down. I'm like, you're so anxious to come out, like you on a rush to go. All of a sudden you slow down. I'm like, oh, anyway, pray for me, please. Okay, and it's nothing wrong with that. You're going to work, or you're being preoccupied, or the road, and you watching the traffic lights, you being a, you know, just a nice conservative driver, you know, doing your proper signals and doing everything. I think everybody here does that. We got some good drivers in this church. I'm being a little sarcastic. Okay, so I know I'm not. And Becca, I got to get on my wife, boy. She drives crazy. No, She don't drive crazy. I think she drive aggressive. And, you know, she was raised with boys, so they drive aggressive. So she, I'd always told Becca she was raised by a pack of wolves. You know, she's the only girl with all these boys and big brothers. And, you know, but it's a benefit to me, you know. So anyway, so, yeah, you focus on the road. There's nothing wrong with that. But then when you get that text message, you're like, oh, okay. You're trying to text and drive at the same time. And we so, it's bad. Our, you know, our thoughts is divided. We need to get the word, obviously, but I meant the road, our undivided attention. And God is so jealous of his people. He's like, come on. The story of Hosea is all about the church. Like, the church is running away from his bride, is pretty much a prostitute, cheating and all that type of stuff. But Jesus is so loving, and his love is so unconditional that he's willing to buy the church back, buy his woman back, the high price of his church. And he's so faithful, and he sticks with us when we preoccupy with the wrong things. When we have undivided attention to him, he says, thank you. All I wanted is right relationship with my people. That's all I want, and that's all I'm after. So preoccupied warfare, the things we focus on. Sometimes we become more political in this world than biblical. The enemy wants us to focus on, oh, I'm a Republican, or I'm a Democrat, or I'm this, I'm conservative, I'm a liberal. Then at least inside the church, we begin to look at our brothers and sisters with a political point of view. And when we're really supposed to look from a godly point of view, I'm just saying this stuff permeates inside the kingdom of God because we're so plugged in the world at times. And I remember in Mark, I think chapter 8, verse 15, Jesus warned his future church leaders and planters. He says, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees, and he says, watch out for the yeast of Herod. What does that mean? Two different kingdoms. The yeast of the Pharisees. They represent the legalistic religious institution that is man-made philosophy. Watch out. Don't bring that into the church. Then the yeast of Herod, which King Herod at the time represents the political structure. So he's saying don't let that leak into the church to take the heart and love of God, because it can change our perspective and we begin to view people in the wrong way. Fighting and wasting our energy for fighting for battles that really doesn't matter, because wherever our energy goes, our focus flows. Or I should say, wherever our focus goes, our energy flows. And we put more energy. See, the devil want us, he know that we are fighting. We need a cause. We need purpose. So what he'll do is give us that call, give us that purpose, but it's misguided. Preoccupied warfare. And we thinking we doing it. The Lord says, tap on the shoulder. No, look this way. Just like a good father would. Okay. So I wrote this. This is a poem that I wrote called Sleepy Slumber. And I wrote this, and the Lord put this on my heart, because as I get to it, I believe everything is food. Everything is food. From the news we watch, from the music we listen to, from the words we receive from other people. Everything is food. Jesus used that example all through scriptures. He says, I'm the bread of life. This morning we took communion, which the bread represents his body, and the juice represents, we really supposed to have wine. Pastor Bob, no, just joking. No, but the but the juice represented, I'm just being a little goofy here. The juice represented his blood. And so he used that example. So as I go into this poem that I wrote back in 2011, this is so many years ago, this word has been on my heart for many years. It's called Sleepy Slumber. See, we sit at a table of fools when listening to CNN and Fox News. The Holy Spirit is our alarm, but the lies of this world is our snooze, saying go back to sleep. See, one hand of entertainment is tickling our bellies. Ha, 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 we laughing. While the other hand is still in the words that God tells me. That's deception. The world tried to keep us from the actual, hypnotize us to keep us natural. The world wants us to operate in the natural realm, superficiality. And when I say, and I told the youth about television, I said the definition of television, they say it right in front of our face. It says to tell you a vision. Television. So we work on perspective. How we view people is how we are brought up. That's how we can discern. So the whole goal of society and culture is to tell us visions and perspectives that make us walk the way the world wants us to walk, when God is saying, hey, over here, my people, right here, don't let them incept you with ideas that is not of me. And that's what it is. And that's what it entertainment. It ain't nothing wrong with getting entertainment. The Lord loves enjoyment. He invented it. It's called joy. He invented it. It's awesome. It's good to have fun. It's good to watch a cool movie. But I want to let you know the definition of entertainment, if you break down the word, is detain for entry. So the whole thing, the devil will use even entertainment to detain us, to enter us an idea and ideology to be contrary to the kingdom of God. And we wonder why the American church sometimes is just not active. And I'm not trying to down nobody. I'm just saying this is pretty prophetic. And the Lord is saying, unplugged and get plugged into me and watch me do great things in this city inside of you. Amen. So that's what I see. And that's what I know. The Lord is trying to wake us up. He really is. Isaiah 55 is a confirmation that everything is food. In Isaiah 55, chapter 1, Jesus is inviting us to the finest food. Let me see if I got it on here. You guys enjoying this? I have to go on my real Bible. Amen. Jesus is awesome. Jesus is a solution for mankind. His presence and his joy is like nothing else. It's better than anything and everything. The peace of God is really beyond understanding. We cannot comprehend it. We shouldn't even be at peace right now in certain situations, but he comes over us. It does not make any sense. And this is what Jesus is inviting us to. He says, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come take a choice of wine and milk. It's all free. Free? Free. Come on, it's free. You don't have to work for it. It is absolutely free. We spend $140-something on cable that we have to pay for, and that's food that does not give us strength, because Jesus is about to talk about it, or God about to talk about it. He says, why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You enjoy the finest food. I tell you, the master chef is Jesus. I tell you, the best dinner table set, the best hospitality you can get, it's in Jesus, at the table of Jesus. He's offering us this free food called salvation. He's offering this free food called peace, love, and joy. And the devil has deceived God's people to think they can find it in something else. But the Lord is really calling. He's this love calling. Toby Mac, I think, got a song out called Love Is Calling. It is constantly calling us to say, hey, you haven't seen nothing yet, saints, what I have for you. If you get unplugged from this world, I'm not saying this to condemn you. I'm saying this to lift you. You don't know what you're missing. I'm a good father. I know what's best for you. I want to bless you. I have the finest food, okay? Jesus is the best. I'm going to keep saying that. Jesus, it just sounds great. It is great. It's awesome. I can't get over it. Praise God. So Jesus is saying this. God is saying this. He says, this is food that gives you strength. This is food that doesn't make you weak. And it's all free. You see this food up here? I'm about to get to it. I'm about to get to that. Y'all hungry? And I can't help but to conclude that everything is food. Like I said, everything is food. Everything. But before I get that, I want to talk about this real quick. I wrote out something again, and I think it's very prophetic, and I think it's powerful. And I'll just open your heart right now. We were never meant to be consumers of the artificial. Though it tastes real, it's not healthy. The more artificial we consume, the less likely we're able to discern what is true and what is false. The artificials does nothing but numb our palate and twist our appetite to crave false pleasures found in artificial flavors. The Lord is calling his people to come out from among the spirit of this world that creates bondages that are disguised as freedom. The enemy has deceived God's people, causing them to think spending time in the presence of TV screens, entertainment, and falsehood and fantasy is better than spending time in God's transforming presence of glory. The Lord is in love with us more than we think, but we settle for less because of the lack of revelation of his marvelous love, grace, mercy, wisdom, and truth and power. Whatever God thinks about us, we must think of ourselves the same way. Now is the time where we need to just receive his glory, prosperity of his presence. I think man is intelligent. Man is intelligent. See, we were innately attracted to colors. We innately born, Adam and Eve was born in a garden, okay? They was born surrounded by trees. They were surrounded by fruit. They were surrounded by the brightest tropical colors. So man said, I got an idea. Let's use the natural, propensity for people to crave, since we crave and we look at colors and fruits, let's make a false one so we can profit. So the packaging of these artificial flavors are just beautiful. Starburst, one of my favorite pieces of candy. It reminds me of my childhood. And if you look at it, it says tropical. You can tell Becca already got in it a little bit. See, Eve. You see what? Y'all know. I'm just joking, baby. I'm joking, baby. I'm joking, baby. You forgive me. All right. Anyway, I'm going to get in trouble, y'all. Y'all stop laughing. Okay. I know. I'm sleeping on a couch. So if you look at this in a way it's advertised, first of all, these colors are brilliant. It's a beautiful color scheme. I'm into colors. I love design and art, and this is beautiful. I mean, this will make me go, this look good. You got kiwi, you got strawberry, it's tropical, it's all kinds of flavors. It's like the tropical place where Adam and Eve was at. And it's like, man, let's create these colors and stuff like that so we can draw them to this. And it's no different from nowadays. Like, how many of you guys ever ate a piece of candy, right? Have you ever ate a piece of candy, then try to eat a piece of fruit afterwards? You got two different things. I laugh because I both call these fruits when I preach this message the first time. And that's a joke because only one is real. One is authentic. But look at that. This is beautiful grapes. Beautiful grapes right here. This is the natural. This is the real. This is the official. This is God made. God said, let there be light. Let there be grapes for Luel. All right? I love grapes, you know. So this is the truth. Look at the color. They stole the color from God. Look at that. This is God creation. You want to know what God smells like? Smell some grapes. You know what I mean? But anyway, that's not true. I mean, I don't know if it's true, probably. But anyway, so these are beautiful grapes. They're natural, and they're so good, and they're so great. Oranges and bananas, it's just amazing. But then if you ate any of this fruit, you just eat a Starburst first, or now later, or Snickers, or anything like that, then what will this grape taste like after you eat? It tastes sour. It tastes bitter. It'd be like, where's the Starburst? Give me the Starburst. See, that's what we were never meant to consume, the artificial, because it twists our palate. You know, in order, like, I'm into health and nutrition, and I studied it for a long time. And in order for our normal taste buds to go back, we have to detox. We have to detox all those, you know, so our palate can change, all those toxins out of our body. Because science proved that if you don't like, if green like kale, kale is bitter though. But I like it because it has a little sweetness into it, but at the same time, like, you know, spinach, kale, or whatever, cucumber, whatever, that might taste bitter. The more bitter it tastes, it shows the condition of your body. It's saying that your body is more acidic. But the more you hydrate your body and become alkaline, they don't taste as bitter. You can tolerate them. I think that's pretty pretty significant, because what happens with the more artificial we consume, it changed the environment of our body. Then our body became changed the appetite, and it changed the, you know, the our taste buds. So we begin to crave artificial flavors rather than the true flavor. We were never meant to consume it, and the enemy knows that. So we get, oh, I call it overstimulation. Overstimulation. And I studied that the overstimulation is bad. Because the body, for instance, coffee, I drank some this morning. I'm not against it. But coffee, what it does, it doesn't give us energy. It borrows energy. It stimulates our body for the adrenal glands to produce and the dopamine pleasure hormone to produce an over-exaggerated amount of chemical. So what it happens, it gets overstimulated. Then the body begins to go in shock saying, wait, too much. I need to conserve that for like years to come. And the body goes into shock. So after the stimulation process is over, it shuts down. So in order for you to have the energy or the joy or the dopamine produced and you lethargic, in order to get that energy back, you have to go back to the stimulant that overstimulated you. So what it is like that with young people when they're in video games constantly, and this is over-exaggerated false reality, and they in it to win it, and they on Call of Duty, and they on Minecraft, and they like, cool, staying up 5 o'clock in the morning, losing sleep, devoted to it like it's Christ, and they in it, and they on it, and they just like, cool, they come out with the next version, they're excited, they have parties about it, and they overstimulated, and when they get into real reality, they don't know what to do in life, they can't feel the presence of God, they don't even know what's real and what's true, they don't know. Adults, you too, come on. I know it's you too. Sometimes it's just the movies. And what our nation is dealing with is pornography is huge. It's a false reality that overstimulates a man thinking that's reality to the point where their wife is not nearly important, where their sex life is twisted and messed up. Because it twists our appetite. That becomes good, becomes bitter. And bitter becomes good. And God is saying, unplugged. So you can get calibrated back to your natural state. Everything is food. Somebody say everything is food. You are what you eat. Y'all can stop repeating, but thank you. It sounds good. Praise God. Okay. Everything is food. And I know that because God's first creation lost relationship with him because of the consumption of the forbidden substance. You remember that. Y'all missed that. Everything is food. Here go the perfect example with messed up human mankind. God's first creation lost relationship with him because of the consumption of a substance that was forbidden. You see, it changed the relationship. A lot of things in this world pulls us and makes us devoted to it. And it's nothing wrong with enjoying these things. Some of these things is innocent. Cell phone, nothing wrong with having a cell phone, but you're driving a cell phone at the same time. That's wrong. So what it is that, is these things that pulls us and they pull more of us and they working against God in reality because that begins not to be cool no more. A Bible begins to collect dust. We begin, the word is not important. Like, oh, it's a chore to open up this word. But when we detox and vacate and exodus from this world, we say, no, I have self-control. I love you, whatever show you watch at 8 p.m., whatever. I love you, Call of Duty, or I love you. Actually, I don't love you. I love Jesus, and I want to pick up this word. Even if I don't feel like it, I'm going to eat it. In the morning, guess what? I'm going to crave it because my appetite got calibrated, okay? So the overstimulation is not good. And I'm about to rush real quick over this. Got so much to cover, but I don't want to run over time. And I want to highlight this scripture right here. It's Ephesians 5, chapter 15 and 18. This is a good scripture right here. And what I'm talking about, Ephesians 5, chapter 15 through 18. I like to highlight this one. It says, this is Paul, again, talking to the church of Ephesus, and somebody warn me on the time or anything like that. He's talking to the church with urgency. He says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, meaning thoughtless, but like those who are wise. Let me tell you what. The lies of the world is our snooze, while the Holy Spirit is our alarm, waking us up. But the lies of the world, the more we consume the things of this world and be preoccupied with it, whether it be a cause, whether it be political, whether it be it just simple and a normal hobby, it can be, you know, there's nothing wrong with these things, but the overconsumption of it, the more we consume it, it begins to dilute us and make us foolish because we don't have wisdom. We fight and we are a consumer. The whole goal of corporate society is to make us to consumers, to advertise us these advertisements on TV screens. If you watch a show that's 30 minutes, you only really enjoy 20 minutes. The rest of the 10 minutes or 15 minutes on the show is advertisement trying to sell you something. Every single ad is telling you, is saying you're not cool if you don't have this. You hungry? Go get a Snicker, not Jesus, or not like some real food, like a nice steak or some salad. So what's going on is that, man, is trying to make us foolish the more we indoctrinate it. But God is saying renew our mind. It says make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. These days are evil. It says make the most. Don't waste it. It says don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. The biggest fear is not knowing the call of God on your life, and you go into age, you're reaching up, and you don't know what to do, where God has me. That's what Paul is trying to warn him. He says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, wine was a big thing back in the day, but I don't think it was just wine or, you know, a glass of wine. He's basically wine drunk, the word intoxicated. Don't be intoxicated. Don't be intoxicated by the toxins of the world, because you're going to be under an influence. It's not godly influence, it's worldly influence. And when you're under an influence, your walk is off. It's not straight, it's crooked. And the narrow road is straight that leads to righteousness, and the broad is the path that leads to destruction. See, the broad road can give you allowance to stumble, and you're still on a road thinking you're cool. But the Lord's saying, no, the narrow road will keep you straight. You have to be sober. You can't be intoxicated. So God is saying, be sober. Don't be drunk with the wine and be asleep. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Get unplugged, Paul is saying, and get filled and plugged in with God. And I remember this right here, prophetically. The Lord spoke to me on a Sunday morning. My father-in-law asked, said, hey, you guys are all prophetic. Close your eyes and ask the Lord for a word. I expected nothing. Show you the faith that I have. I didn't expect God to speak to me. I was just like, hopefully he does, you know. Close my eyes, and out of nowhere, he says, the reason why my people don't hunger and thirst after me is because they're already full. He says they're already full with the things of this world. He says they don't hunger and thirst. They satiated. They're fine with the status quo. They fine consuming the things of this land. And you know, I blessed them to put them in this land of more than enough. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15, he says, the Lord is describing his children that he took from captivity. He's describing his people that he freely gave them the best of the land. He gave them the finest wine. He gave them the finest food. He blessed them, but they loved it and they enjoyed it. But then they got too much excess. He says they became heavy. They became unruly. And he says they made light of the rock of their salvation. Because a land of more than enough is America. We are blessed to live in America, and it's beautiful. And I love America. God bless it. And there's so many opportunities and ideas. If you lose your job, unemployment. If you don't have enough money, food, card. It's all kinds of stuff and whatever it is, but we have it easy. But we can rely on these things and get consumed by these things to the point we're already full. We're so self-sufficient, supposedly, that we don't need God anymore. We're not hungry and thirsty because our bank account is fine, or this will help me out. In Proverbs 27:7, he says, a person who is full refuses honey, but even bitter food tastes sweet to the hungry. Honey represents, if you ever did a word study on honey, it represents spiritual delight. It says, a person who already full refuses. Amplify says, he who is satiated with his sensual pleasures lulls and tread underfoot a honeycomb, but the hungry soul, every bitter thing he eat is sweet. So some things in my life has overstimulated me and changed my appetite. I'm not the only, you guys, I'm preaching to myself, to the point where getting in the word is not as easy. It's kind of bitter. But I'm at the point where I'm so hungry where I'm willing to taste that, because I know I'm willing to eat that, because the more I eat it, it begins to taste how a really true taste, sweet, beautiful like honey. And if I can get you guys to stand up and pray, if I get you guys to stand up, and I believe the Lord wants to fill you again. He wants you to fill you again like you felt that time you remember when you got filled with the Holy Ghost. The Lord wants to fill you again. If you will raise your hand, if this is speaking to you right now, I want to pray over you right now. Lord Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, that you unplugging a people, that you love a people, Lord. This message is not discouraging, it's encouraging, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're spurring your people on to be filled with you, filled with your spirit, filled with your joy, filled with your love, Lord God. There's nothing like it, Lord. That they find delight in you, Father, more than they find delight in other things, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for raising up a people that's saying, you know what, I'm going to be an unplugged people. I'm going to be an unplugged person. I'm going to help my neighbor. I'm going to love. I'm going to engage culture. And I thank you, Jesus, right now that you will begin to fill them up. Those who've been gone from church, Lord, I pray that you will stir them up. That it is time to come back to the house of God. It is time to start over. It is time to just open ourselves up and lift up our hands to receive your joy, your peace, and your love. In Jesus' name, I bless them, Lord God. Fill them with your spirit. I pray for life-changing and transformation take place right now. If you guys need any special prayer or anything right now, come up. I believe the Lord is speaking to some people right now. Jesus.